Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on 2008 in review when we come back. You know, with an income of $50,000 a year, you pay $7,650 in Social Security taxes if you're self-employed and you're paying 15.3%. Well then, shouldn't you subtract that $7,650 from your $50,000 income and pay your income tax bill on the $42,350 balance instead of paying 17% of that $50,000 twice? Now, you know the IRS makes you pay 15.3% of the gross amount, $50,000, in your Social Security tax. Then they make you pay 17% of that same gross amount, $50,000, in income tax. Now, that means that you pay 17% of that $7,650 twice. Now, that little bookkeeping trick steals an extra $1,300 from you and everyone else that pays that tax. Now, what would you think if Sears or Penny's or your credit card company charged you twice, like Social Security and the IRS does? Now, isn't that just real special? Now, if you'd like more information about tax and status, why don't you call us here at the law school? The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, while you're at it, be sure to ask for our free general law CD package. That's a four-hour commentary on the law school. Remember, it's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative. Best of all, it's free. You can call and order one right now. Tax and Status, our school, is available on compact disc for adult home education. And if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Just click on the email and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Do it right now while you're thinking about it before you forget. All right, last time we were talking about this thing called backwardation. We're talking about 2008 in review, and the most important story of the year is the collapse of the world economy. You haven't seen the full ramifications of this world economy or economic collapse. That's coming over the next 3 years. Boy, is it going to be a James Dandy Wallapalooza. But there was a collateral issue that came up, and I brought it to your attention last time, called backwardation. I never heard that word in my life. Hell, I couldn't even spell it. But here it is. It's B-A-C-K-W-A-R-D-A-T-I-O-N. We came up to a second word over here called contango, C-O-N-T-A-N-G-O, and then a third one called arbitrage, and I ran out of time last time. So let's cut to the chase and let me explain this to you. This backwardation over here, it occurs from time to time. And here's what it means. It's, over the last few weeks, there have been a lot of articles on the Internet about backwardation. That's when the price of commodities for delivery today is higher than the price of commodities for delivery in the future. Now, that happens once in a while. It happens in copper, or in iron ore, or in futures for other things. But it never happens in gold. It doesn't happen in gold. It has happened historically three times in history, 1995, 1999, and 2008. And that's what makes this thing so important. It doesn't happen in gold, but it is happening as I speak. Now, here's what backwardation is. If the price of gold today is higher than future delivery of gold in the future, then here's what we do. Let's suppose that you've got an ounce of gold. That ounce of gold is worth $800. Okay? Let's sell the ounce of gold. You take your physical ounce of gold and you sell it into the gold market. And you come up with a check for $800. You run down and you deposit your $800 in the bank. Now you come back to the same trading broker and you say, now sell me a future on that 1 ounce of gold. And he sells it to you for $790. You're going to make a $10 profit, but your $10 profit comes 6 months from now when your futures contract matures, and now you take your futures contract worth $790 down to your broker, and he gives you your 1 ounce of gold back, and you make a tidy $10 profit. Isn't that special? That's called arbitrage. I explained that to you last time. Arbitrage. And you're sitting there saying, well, what's so special about that? Well, the thing that's special about it is that it's a guaranteed built-in profit from your broker. You can't miss. That's what's wrong with it. You can't miss. So you need to ask yourself, well, then why is my broker doing that? Why is he going to give me $800 today for my 1 ounce of gold for the promise of my 1 ounce back in 6 months with a $10 profit? Ah. Now that's where the bodies are buried. Because on December the 31st, the COMEX, that's the Commodity Metal Exchange in New York City, is going to have to pay out some gold out of their warehouse. Not just some gold, it's an unprecedented amount of gold. It's never happened in history. And the fat lady sings December 31st, 2008. That's why 2008 is such a memorable year. Not only was it the year of the Olympics and the year of the housing bubble meltdown and the year of the economic collapse and the year of the massive bailouts, it's also the year of backwardation. Backwardation. And why is it that they're willing to pay this future premium? Because they got to pay out 43% of all the gold in the warehouse on December the 31st. And there isn't anybody out here that believes that they've got that gold in the warehouse. It's a run on the bank. They've got until December the 31st to pay off. And there isn't anybody out here that believes they can pay. And boy, if that isn't going to put the SH into the fan on December the 31st. Boy, that's going to be monumental. And that's why contango is in the news. Because gold almost always trades in contango. That is, the price for delivery today is always lower than the price for delivery in the future. And it has to be that way. See, if the price of gold today is $800 an ounce, and you want to buy a futures contract, you've got to pay more than $800 to get it. Nobody in his right mind is going to allow you to go down and sell your gold today and take a futures contract with a built-in profit. Nobody. But they're doing it today. And that's why you've got to ask yourself why. Why is it that they're playing arbitrage on the contango of the backwardation? And the answer is because they don't have the gold to pay off. And they're just working their little hearts out, their fingers to the bone, trying to come up with the gold so that the run on the bank, 43%. Now let me tell you how this game is played so you can better grasp it. Gold is mined every year. All over the world, people are digging in the ground and they're pulling gold out of the ground. They have to put in physical labor to get the gold out of the ground. And they're pulling out about 2,500 tons per year. Write that down. 2,500 tons per year. Now, over the last 5 years, that 2,500 ton average has been slipping. They're not producing 2,500 tons a year. It's 24, 23, 22, 21, 20. I think it's going to be a little over 2,000 tons this year, 2008. But it's not going to be 2,500 tons, which is the typical average. Now, the consumption of gold every year is 3,700 tons. So right away, you're going to say to yourself, wait a minute, Gordon, you dummy. You can't consume 3,700 tons of gold a year if you're only producing 2,500. Hey, Bob, hey, you just hit the nail right on the head. You're exactly right. You cannot consume 3,700 tons of 2,500 tons of production. You're 1,200 tons short. So how do you do that? You do it with paper gold. Paper gold. not the real stuff, not the glittery stuff. You do it with paper. And the way the game is played is when you call your commodity broker and you say, I want to buy 100 ounces of gold or 1,000, whatever it is. He says, okay, the price is $800 an ounce and send me your check. So you sit down and you write out a check for 100 ounces of gold, which would be $8,000, right? Isn't that right? $80,000. You send the $80,000 check off to your broker. Does he then send you the 100 ounces of gold? The answer is no, he does not. He sends you a piece of paper that says, I've received your $80,000 and you now have 100 ounces of gold on deposit in the COMEX warehouse. And you have to send us a little extra money. So please remit us a check for $175 for storage and insurance. You not only don't have your 100 ounces of gold here, Bobby, but you also have to now pay them to store it and insure it every year. You get a bill every year to store your 100 ounces of gold in the COMEX warehouse. But Bob, you know that any time you want to, you can ask for and receive delivery of your 100 ounces. Now, you talk about confidence. And this is what we call a confidence swindle. This is where this Bernie Madoff made off with $100 billion. You were told it was 50, it's really 100. You were told it was a Ponzi scheme. It wasn't a Ponzi scheme, it was a straight out-and-out theft. Held the money sitting over in Tel Aviv today. Now that's another story for another day. But that's what confidence is all about. Because you know when you invest your money, you know, in General Motors, when you invest your money in General Electric, when you're investing your money in stocks, you know that you can sell those stocks in the morning. You know that when you've got 100 ounces of gold in the warehouse, that you can get your 100 ounces of gold anytime you want. And 43% of the people who have their gold in the COMEX warehouse have now asked for physical delivery. Never before has that ever happened. Now, if you have 100 ounces of gold in the warehouse and you ask for your delivery and they send you your 100 ounces, well, now you've got the problem of storing it, don't you? Where are you going to put it? Under your mattress? Are you going to go dig a hole and put it in the ground? No. Normal people, they got to go buy a safe deposit box and stick it in the bank. Hell, they can't handle 100 ounces of gold. That's more than you're competent or capable of handling. And so you want to store it someplace. You got to have somebody, a guardian, take care of your gold for you. You can't do it, not by yourself. You got to have help. That's what a guardian ward relationship is all about. And this is why the COMEX now is willing to pay you today $800 for your gold and then turn around and sell you a futures contract for $790 for future delivery. They need that physical gold today to pay off these 43% of the depositors who want physical delivery. That's what's happening. All right, so the reason that we never have backwardation in gold is because it has a built-in arbitrage. Now, arbitrage is where we're betting in the future that the prices are going to come back into equilibrium. And that's why I told you on the last program, I said the natural price for silver and gold is 17 ounces of silver equals 1 ounce of gold. And that's because that's how many ounces God put into the earth's crust. 17 times more silver than gold. So the real price of gold is 17 ounces of silver. And the real price of silver is 1 ounce of gold for 17 ounces of silver. That's the built-in natural price designed by God Almighty Himself. That's why we have what's known as the bimetallic money system. And America used to use this bimetallic money system. And when we want more money into circulation, we have to expend labor to go out into the field and dig that gold out of the ground and bring it into the economy. Labor puts gold and silver coin into the economy. This is why the bankers hate gold and silver, because they can't make any profit off of it. The banker makes his profit off of the paper money he creates. The banker makes his profit by selling you the gold for $800 an ounce and then not delivering the gold to you, and he turns around and sells the same 100 ounces of gold to another guy for another $80,000, which he doesn't deliver. And he can write up these paper contracts and these promises to pay all day long. So he can take 100 ounces of gold in the Comex warehouse and sell that 100 ounces of gold to 10 people, just like you and me. And each and every one of us believes that we've got our 100 ounces of gold in the warehouse. Now, they've sold 1,000 ounces of gold to 10 of us, 100 ounces each. But they've only got 100 ounces in the warehouse. So if four of us come in and say, we're going to take physical delivery, can you see why the Comex is in a panic? In fact, the Bank of England is shipping gold as fast as they can load it on airplanes and fly it to New York right now, as I speak, so that they can cover the gold shortage. Are they going to cover it? I would bet they're going to cover it. That's my bet. I think they're going to cover it, at least this time. Which will make those 43%, when they get paid their gold, they're going to say, well, now what am I going to do with it? And so they'll send it back to the Comex. They have to make delivery on December the 31st. And that's why they're paying more in the future than they're selling it for today. Built-in arbitrage. Now, one of these days, though, they're not going to make delivery. The Fat Lady Sings, December 31st, 2008. But one of these days, they're going to fail. I don't know when. They're going to fail when too many people wake up to the fact that gold has been sold into the future 15 years. You want to know how much gold has been sold on these paper contracts? All right, here's what it is. It's 2,500 tons of production per year times 15 years, or 37,500 tons of gold has been sold that does not exist. It hasn't been dug up yet. Ain't been dug up yet. And the same thing is true with silver. They've sold silver into the future 15 years. This is called leveraging or fractional reserve banking. And of course, this is wonderful for bankers. And this is why the bankers have leveraged this whole economy out into infinity. And this is why you've got such massive debts around the world and why the world's economy is collapsing right as I speak. It's in free fall. Now, they have sold all of these futures into the future and taken the profits today. But there is not a corresponding amount of goods and services out in the economy. In fact, there's only 2% of it out there. I mentioned that to you last time. 2%. If all the people now who take all of these paper promises, if the 10 of us who have 100-ounce contracts go into the Comex and say, pay us, they need to come up with 1,000 ounces of gold. And in theory, they've got 1,000 ounces of gold in the Comex. After all, they're charging all of us insurance and they're charging us storage fees on the full 1,000 ounces. They don't have 1,000 ounces in there, and you and I don't know how much they've got. But I don't believe they have 10%. I don't believe it. If they've got 10%, they're well capitalized, and I don't think they've got 10%, much less 43%, and I'll guarantee you they ain't got 100%. Now, they should have 100% of all of the gold that they've sold in that warehouse. That's what they're representing. And that's where the fraud comes in. See, that's called fraud. That's where this Bernie Madoff comes into the game. He represents that he's got all of these assets invested in stocks and bonds and gold and silver and futures or whatever he's investing in. And then the truth of the matter is that he doesn't. He doesn't. And that's a lie. That's a fraud. And that's what fraud is. It's a lie. And when we use this in economics, you know, we call this a fraud. And Bernie Madoff over here is perpetrating a fraud. He's a lying thief, is what it boils down to. Now, when a lying thief on Wall Street steals $50 billion, he gets an ankle bracelet. Let somebody rob a 7-Eleven store and see if he gets an ankle bracelet. He goes right to jail, doesn't he? Bank robbers, they go right to jail. Well, this guy is a banker, and he's a robber. When a banker robs his customers, he gets an ankle bracelet. If the customer robs the banker, he gets prison. See how that game is played? That's just so that you understand how this program comes down. All right, now going back here to James Turk. Remember we were reviewing James Turk's article on backwardation so that you could understand how this thing is going to impact upon all of us. This is unprecedented, children. We've never had this before. Well, almost. 1995, 1999, and it lasted for a total of 4 days. This has been going on since December the 8th, day in and day out. I mean, we've got an arbitrage coming down here on this backwardation that's been going on for the whole month with no end in sight. Now, there's a reason for it. And that is, the bankers over here can't pay. That's what the bottom line is. Now, I think they're going to pay off. They're going to borrow every ounce of gold they can from around the world. They're going to bring it to New York, and they're going to pay these 43% off. And that'll keep them in the game for a while longer. Now, remember, 18% of all of the gold transactions are done in physical gold, and 82% are done on paper. As long as you people do business on paper, they can keep this scheme going. They can keep this program going forever. See, they can sell 3,700 tons out of 2,500 tons that they're mining every year because they're just selling you pieces of paper that you believe is actually gold in the warehouse. There's no gold in the warehouse, kids. So get this. If you've got these futures contracts for gold or silver, you better take physical possession right now while you can. If you can. I'm not sure that you can. But if you can. I went into my gold broker here a couple of months ago, and I bought a little silver from him, and he called me the next day and said he couldn't replace it. I got the last bag of silver that he had in the store. I called him the other day, and he said he did get his inventory replaced. So he's got some more silver in the store, but it took him 2 months to replace it. Do you want to send your money off to the gold broker, hoping that you're going to get delivery in 2 months? Because I don't. I don't trust them. Try this. When you put your money on the counter, if there's no gold on the other side, keep your money. And let's go do something else with it. But hey, listen. Now, we're beginning to see the effects of the shortages. Remember I told you, if you take all the money that's out there and you go into Walmart, you go to your gold broker, you go to any place and you start converting all of the money into goods, there's only 2% out there. So 98% of you people out there are going to be short 98% of all the goods that you want to buy. So whatever money you've got right now, you need to convert it into something other than dollars. And, of course, wherever your currency is, if you've got yen, the yen is strengthening against the dollar, the euro is strengthening against the dollar, but it's a fiat paper currency. And all of the currencies worldwide are going to collapse. And, boys and girls, that's never happened in the history of the world. They've never collapsed all at the same time. That's what's coming. And I would go a step further and say 40% unemployment in 2009 may be an understatement. Unemployment hit 62% in Argentina in their collapse. Now, they had a monetary collapse in Argentina here just about 5 years ago. They're on the verge of another one. It's called a default. The United States of America is going to default on their bonds. We simply don't have the money to pay. But governments don't default, they inflate. And then they monetize their debt. They just take the debt and go out in the marketplace and spend it. So when the government goes out to Boeing and they say, build us airplanes, and they just write out pieces of paper, Boeing then just writes out pieces of paper and gives it to their employees. Their employees deposit the pieces of paper and go out in the marketplace and write up more pieces of paper. But those employees are taking the physical goods off the Walmart shelves. And boys and girls, we have just added $8.5 trillion worth of pieces of paper to go out and make claims against those Walmart goods on those Walmart shelves, and the day is coming very rapidly now when the Walmart shelves are going to be empty. Now wake up and smell the coffee here. Deflation's not your problem. That's your friend. Deflation is the enemy of the moneyed aristocracy, the bankers, the big businesses. They want inflation. You and I don't want inflation. That's a tax. They're taxing us. They're impoverishing us. We want deflation. Us little guys. Us little bottom feeders out here in the pond. We want deflation. That's good for us. And in the deflation of 1929 to 33, butter consumption went up. In the deflation of 1942 to 46, the consumption of butter went down. Boys and girls, we live poorer in an inflation. We live better and eat more butter in a deflation. You've got to get your thinking cap on straight. Now, these shortages make it difficult, if not impossible, to arbitrage any backwardation that appears in these other commodities. If there were a huge above-ground inventory, one could sell their inventory today and buy it back in the future at a cheaper price, profiting from the difference. Gold's huge above-ground stock makes it different from other commodities. Backwardation in gold does not occur in practice because there are always people willing to profit by selling some of their hoard in the spot market and then buying back gold futures at a lower price for delivery in the future, except the three rare instances that I noted above. In the first two instances, the market for physical gold was temporarily disrupted. The reasons for the third backwardations are not yet certain, but it is important to consider its possible causes. And cause number one is the COMEX can't pay off. That's number one. They can't pay. And that's why they need to induce us to sell our gold for future delivery, so that they can take our gold to pay off in their Ponzi scheme. And that's what this Bernie Madoff is accused of, that he was taking the investment money of investors today to pay the interest or the higher premiums for his previous investors that gave him his money last month or last year. Now, that's called a classic Ponzi. And, of course, it runs out. Social Security is a Ponzi scheme. And Social Security has been bankrupt twice in the past, and it's going bankrupt again. The United States government issuing treasuries is a Ponzi scheme. The COMEX is a Ponzi scheme. And these Ponzi schemes are handled by the international bankers and these international central banks. They are so big, they are so huge, and they are running such humongous Ponzi schemes that it defies description. But that's why the world's economy is now in free fall, is because the Ponzi schemes are coming unraveled. That's the bottom line. So if you're a gold bug, if you're one of those 5% that have some gold, you want your gold in physical possession. And never let go of that physical possession. Let's try it this way. Let's suppose, for the sake of our discussion, that sometime in the past you've already traded your gold for silver, and now you're heavy on silver, and the ratio is 80 to 1. You're in the driver's seat. Now, when the ratio drops to 16 to 1, and you're sitting here with your silver, and you walk into the broker and you say, I want to now trade my silver, 16 ounces of silver, for an ounce of gold. And he says to you, just leave your silver here and I will deliver your gold at some future date. Don't do that. Don't do that. When you put your silver on the counter, you make sure you walk out with the gold. Boys and girls, when you put your money on the counter, you walk out with the gold and silver. Make sure that you take physical delivery. No more promises. Now, Frank, the gold broker, last year called me on the phone. He said, George, he said, I'm going to have to terminate our relationship. I said, Frank, we've been doing business for 20 years. What the hell's going on? And he says, I can no longer guarantee delivery. Now remember, this is last year. This is 2007. Frank, the gold broker, called me on the telephone. He's one of the few honest guys around. He said, I can't guarantee delivery. And I said, why, Frank? You've paid like a slot machine. He said, I know. But he said, you see, the world's economy is going into free fall next year. And he said, when I take your money, I deposit that in the bank. And then I write a check to my supplier, who writes a check to his supplier, who writes a check to his supplier. The banking system is on the verge of imploding. And when it does, nobody will be able to guarantee delivery. We won't know which banks are solvent and which aren't. So Frank, the gold broker, knew that last year. You and I just learned about it in the last 90 days, didn't we? All right, so what that boils down to is when you put your money on the counter, the gold broker says, you can't depend on me because I'm going to deposit my money in the bank. If the bank doesn't pay or doesn't honor the check, well, then I can't pay. And he said, I don't want to take responsibility. That's what happened to this Bernie Madoff thing. Now, as long as the system's working, everything's fine. When it goes into implode, then he can't pay off because he can't borrow money. All of the markets worldwide are frozen up. And the banks are not lending to you and me or anybody else. The banks are taking the bailout money and they're storing the money for a future hyperinflation. They're going to run the stock market up to 10,000, sell it to you and bail out. And when they do, they're going to take their profits and put it into gold. So let's take a lesson from the bankers. The bankers are getting ready for the final crash. It ain't here yet. What they've done is they've made it appear like we're in deflation. Don't you believe it? We're not in deflation. We're in hyperinflation that hasn't hit the marketplace yet. So they have feigned a deflation. And now you and I are thinking about deflation when in reality the killer is the inflation. This is the tide going out before the tsunami hits. The tide is running out. You need to be running to higher ground right now. All right, kids, we're at the halfway point. We got to give you a reminder here that you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives, all of which can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school at 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. And the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that the authors or publications that we endorse are necessarily going to reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour and Editorial Review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine. They're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, the beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. So if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, and we'll tell you everything we can about us. Or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about backwardation, which is a part of this thing that we're covering this week here called 2008 in Review. Now, the guy that wrote this article, his name is James Turk. James Turk, T-U-R-K. He's interviewed every now and again in The Money Changer by Franklin Sanders. That's where you'll see that name, James Turk, from time to time. He's a contrarian economist, a gold bug, and he's explaining to us here what it is that we need to know about this thing called backwardation. And it's going on right now. It's been going on all month. And it's going on because the COMEX can't pay. That's what the bottom line is. Now, the rumor has it now that they're getting gold in. And they're not getting enough gold from people like you and me. We haven't taken the bait. Or at least not enough of us. So now the Bank of England is coming in. Now, I don't know how much gold is going out, but 43%. Now, I don't know how much gold they've got in the COMEX. See, they publish those numbers, and they tell us, well, they got 100 million ounces or 300 million ounces or whatever, 60 tons or whatever. Well, get this, 43% now of the people that are holding those futures said, give me the physical money. That's unprecedented. Never been done in history. None of us out here, none of us gold bugs out here think they can pay off. Now, we know that they're leveraged out. We don't know how much they're leveraged out. See, the bankers don't have to tell us. Listen to this little ditty right here. The use of TARP funds have been directed at enriching the major banking and brokerage firms on Wall Street. That's to keep them from declaring bankruptcy and to consolidate power among a handful of illuminist firms. Now, the Federal Reserve refuses to release information on the disbursement of TARP funds. And that was accepted as collateral, and the values given to each collateral involved in swaps for Treasury securities. The excuse is exposure of trade secrets and national security. So the Federal Reserve says, oh, God, we can't tell you how we're spending that $700 billion of bailout money. Because that's involving national security and trade secrets. Oh, my God. You talk about gonads now. I mean, these guys have got balls like you can't believe. Just unbelievable. Wrap it up in national security. First of all, they lie to us, leverage, and steal from us, and then they turn around and say, we won't lend to you unless you give us this bailout money. Then when we give them the bailout money, they say, now we're not going to tell you what we're doing with it. I'll tell you what they're doing with it. They're giving it out as stock dividends and bonuses and perks, and then they're reserving the rest of it for the big blow-off, which is coming next year. The stock market's going back up to 10,000. and then they're going to blow it off and take their money and convert it to metals. And they're going to do it at our expense. Now, they're already screwing us, blueing us, and tattooing us, so I'd say it's time for us to wake up and start smelling some coffee here. Now, that little article there, that little tidbit, comes from the International Forecaster. And remember, that's Bob Chapman now. Bob Chapman, the International Forecaster at theinternationalforecaster.com. Now, this guy James Turk over here, I don't know if he's on Kitco. If he's not on Kitco, I can't tell you is or isn't, but I think that he is. I think every once in a while I see an article by James Turk on Kitco. Go to kitco.com, that's kitco.com, and you can get articles on the reality of what's going on from guys like Rick Ackerman and John Nadler, N-A-D-L-E-R, Richard Doughty, the Magombo Guru, Howard Katz, Jason Hamlin, Roger Wiegand, just to mention a few of them that are on there free. Now, they all sell newsletters. And, you know, none of us can afford to buy all of their newsletters. All of them are good guys. I'm not knocking any of them. I'm just telling you that their newsletters sell for anywhere from, $50 or $60 to $300, $400, $500. There's some of them out there that sell for thousands of dollars a year, but most of them are $150, $200 a year. Now, you know, I can subscribe to two or three, and you can probably do the same. The three that I recommend the highest, you know, not that these guys are bad. No, don't get me wrong. But I recommend number one on the list is the International Forecaster. Number two, the Privateer. And number three, the Money Changer. And I think that most of us can afford one of those. I try to afford all three. And I recommend that you get all three. But if you can't get one, start off with the International Forecaster. Now, that's about 20 to 40 pages twice a week. And listen, they cover things like backwardation. He brought it up. But it was James Turk that explained it. And that's why I wanted to take the time to explain it to you. And that's a word I'd never heard before. That, along with contango and arbitrage, I'm fully familiar with, and I practiced it and have for years. And so do a lot of other people. Now, I teach a business school, and in our business school, I'll show you how to use arbitrage if you want to learn how, and how to profit from it. Now, you've heard people say, the reason that I don't have gold and silver is because it doesn't pay any interest. Well, let me tell you something. Gold and silver in the 20th century, on average, paid 10% compounded annually for 100 years. Got that? That was the average. If you bought stocks, you lost 0.3% on the difference between inflation and the profit that you made on the Dow Jones Industrial Average. See, you made 0.3% on the spread, and then you lost 38% on the inflation and capital gain tax. So if you were invested in stocks from 1960 to 2000, you lost 38% of your purchasing power. You went from $10,000 to $70,000 and lost $3,800 worth of purchasing power. Now, that's where reality's at. And most Americans can't count. They go to public school. They just simply can't count. There's no money in stocks for investors. I don't care who in the hell you are out there. You never made a dime in stocks. Brokers make money. Bankers make money. No doubt about it. Government makes money. Insurance companies, Boeing aircraft, all these people are making money on stocks. And those are the people that are promoting them. But you and I don't make money. What happens is we invest $10,000, 40 years later we collect $70,000, and we congratulate ourselves on the $60,000 profit that we made. Smoke and mirrors. You didn't make $60,000 profit because Inflation over that period of time ate up the $60,000 plus $3,800 on top of it. You understand how that works? Let me tell you one more here. In 1972, that was the last year that you people got a wage increase. You listening to me now? Pay attention now. Listen up. 1972, that was the last year that you got a wage increase. And in 1972, you were making $4 an hour. And today you're making $17.58 an hour. And you're sitting there laughing up your sleeve saying, "That fool, why, I can remember 1972, I was making $4 an hour. And now I'm making $17.50. Why, I'm making $13.50 an hour more than I was in 1972. All right, now, you listening up here, Bob? But today, when you go out and buy stuff in the marketplace, $17.58 will not buy as much as $4 would buy in 1972. Got that? And that's where you're losing. And that's where you can't count. Now, inflation is a stealth tax. It's called the invisible tax. And boys and girls, we ain't seen inflation in this country yet. In the 1970s, we saw inflation, I think it hit 13%. Paul Volcker raised the interest rates to 21%. And Volcker bailed the economy's chestnuts out of the fire. It was a miracle. Now, Ben Bernanke is working his heart out along with Henry Paulson, and I'm sure President Barack Obama is going to do the same thing. They're going to flood the marketplace with money, and they're going to try to bail this thing out one more time. Now, everybody that I'm reading, everything that I'm seeing is that this thing has already gone so far over the cliff that there's no getting back. No getting back. So if you think this is a short-term recession and by next May everything's going to be honky-dory, I think you're going to be whistling Dixie through a straw hat. I wish them the best of luck. I mean, there isn't anybody out here who wants to go through this Great Depression that we're coming up with, which is going to be led off with this phony depression, deflation first, followed by this massive influx of money, which we haven't seen the end of yet, which is going to be followed by hyperinflation, which is going to gag us all. Then with high unemployment, a breakdown in goods and services, rationing, war, famine. Now, if you want to see the rest of the story, you go to Leviticus. This is in the Bible now for all of you people out there. Leviticus. That's the third book of the Bible, chapter 26. That's Leviticus 26, and then Deuteronomy 28. That's the fifth book of the Bible, Deuteronomy 28. Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. Now, that's the guy, that's Moses there, in conjunction with God Almighty, the creator of the universe. Now, they can tell you what's coming in the future. See, I couldn't do that, so I'm not a prophet. I'm just a plumber. Now, those two guys working in conjunction, they scoped this thing out, and they said, okay, now let me tell you how this thing's going to come down. Now, James Turk goes on to say, the demand for physical gold has been strong recently for a number of reasons, but perhaps the two most important reasons are relatively low U.S. dollar interest rates and the growing concern about counterparty risk. Hey, how do you like that? We've got contango, arbitrage, backwardation, and now we got counterparty risk. Boy, that's a big word. Counterparty risk. Gold doesn't have any counterparty risk, but dollars do. Stocks do. These factors make holding physical gold an increasingly attractive alternative compared to holding U.S. dollars in particular, and national currencies generally, and as a result it is possible that November's backwardation may be the precursor of a fundamental change in the gold market. What could that change be? We don't need to speculate here because there are only two possible answers. The first is that gold goes into backwardation because no one who owns gold is willing to sell their hoard at the current price. And I noted this possibility in my August 17th alert posted on the Gold Money website, and I wrote back then, quote, "The extraordinary demand for coins and small bars can be reviewed as an early sign that the market is moving into backwardation. In other words, the backwardation is in effect being reflected by higher premiums above spot for physical metal, rather than spot itself rising and going into backwardation." So over the last 4, 5, 6 months, we've been observing higher and higher premiums for physical gold. And you'll see it today. Just go on the net and take a look at gold. You want to buy some physical gold on eBay, and you're going to find that you're going to have to pay a premium, not of 4%, but maybe 10 or 15%. And I noted the other day, the fella called me and he said he had to pay $13.50 for silver. Now, silver's been trading at around $9.50 to $10.50. He had to pay $3.50. Now, that's a 35% premium for silver, to get physical silver. 35% premium. God, that's unheard of. Just read a newsletter the other day, I think it was the Money Changer, and Franklin Sanders said he has never seen premiums. In 30 years, he has never seen premiums like this. So when Turk says, hey, listen, we're entering into a period here that we've never seen before, he's not just whistling Dixie. Central banks do not transact in small bars, and their coin transactions are inconsequential compared to the size of the market. So the market for fabricated product is relatively free from government influence. But central banks, of course, exert a dominant influence on the market for LBMA-sized bars by using their existing gold stocks. And they can keep the spot price for gold, which is determined by buying and selling of LBMA-sized bars, artificially low by dishoarding gold from their vaults. So here's what they do. The Bank of England sells 5 tons of gold to the Bank of Germany. Wait a minute. These guys are all in cahoots. These are all bankers. These guys aren't selling that gold out here into the marketplace for you and me and Joe Sixpack. So they're selling the gold out here in the international markets. And so England sells the gold to Germany. Germany sells the gold to Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia sells the gold to Brazil, and so on. These are massive transactions. They're denominated in tons and tons of gold. But hell, that gold ain't hitting the marketplace. If it was hitting the physical marketplace out here, the price of gold wouldn't have those premiums on them. We're sitting here with a shortage of gold, and the price is going down. And that's because they're engineering the price of gold down because they're dealing in paper gold, 82% of the market. But the fat lady's about to sing because 43% now said we want physical delivery. And I don't think the bankers can pay. I know they don't have the 43%. That's why we're going through this backwardation. They're trying to entice you and me to sell our gold right now, so we can take an arbitrage profit in the future. I didn't take the bait, and most of the physical gold holders out there aren't taking the bait either. Most aren't taking the bait. So the Bank of England now is going to come into the rescue. Let's see whether or not there's enough gold out there for those guys to rescue them. This 43% is actually going to come out here into the marketplace. So you're going to see physical gold ease up, because when those 43% take delivery of their gold. Remember, they've been buying this gold now for $700. They can sell it on eBay for $1,000. That's why they're taking physical delivery, because they know they can sell that gold, that physical gold, and make a tidy profit on it. So the bankers over here have played the backwardation card. But now, the guys that have that, and listen, the guys that are on that COMEX up there, those are pretty big players. Those people buy, sell, and trade in tons also. And then the COMEX has to pay off. They're not talking about 100 ounces for me and you, Bob. They're talking about tons and tons of gold coming out of there. And if you've been watching the COMEX gold inventory, it's been going down, down, down every month for the last 5 months. Down, down, down. And now, they got a hit for 43% of everything they got in there. God, you talk about unprecedented now. Like I said, the fat lady sings December 31st. Now, the second possible answer is more ominous. If gold does trade in backwardation against the U.S. dollar for a protracted period, again, barring a very short-term event like the first two instances above, it means that a collapse of the dollar has begun. And that's what I think it is. I think the collapse of the dollar has already begun. Now, think about that. How could gold go into backwardation for any prolonged period? Because if it does, it would mean that no one is willing to take the risk of selling their hoard and instead hold U.S. dollars. It would mean that no one is willing to accept the risks that come with holding dollars while waiting until they can be used at a future date to exchange it back for gold. And those risks are the dollar can be created out of thin air by governments, and that's what they're doing, and holding dollars has counterparty risk. Counterparty risk. Hey, when you're hanging on to those dollars, you're taking the risk. You're the guy that may not be able to trade those dollars. You're holding the old maid. That's called counterparty risk. Hell, I don't want to take the risk. And I think that it's number two. And I think that's exactly what's coming down. And that's because people that are in the know, you know, people like this guy Turk and others, the contrarians out there sitting there going, hey, listen, this thing's not only coming unraveled, they're already over the cliff and down 100 feet. There ain't no going back up on top of the cliff. You're not going to pull this thing out. The next stop is the bottom. The next stop for the Titanic is the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean. That's what that's telling us. Now, these trillions of dollars of newly created bailout money highlight the first risk, and the sad state of the banking industry today makes clear the second. Physical gold has neither of these risks. So because of the greater risk of holding dollars, dollar interest rates are higher than gold's interest rates. In short, the higher interest rate currency is always in backwardation when the forwards are measured against a currency with lower interest rates. The dollar is in backwardation. The dollar is collapsing right as I speak. So, all right, boys and girls, there's the story on backwardation. James Turk. He also publishes a newsletter. You can probably go to James Turk on the internet, find out more about him. He's a pretty good old boy. He's a pretty good writer, and he explains it in layman's language. Hell, I could understand that, and I hope I've been able to explain it to you. All right, I'm out of time again here, kids. I'm going to have to give you a final reminder that we are listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in 120 countries plus daily over the internet and radio. Now, if you'd like more information about the law school, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. GeorgeGordon.org. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log, schedule, and archives, all of which can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, we're out of time. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.